Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you for joining us wherever you are. This podcast episode is brought to you by the Old Ways Actual Play Team. This actual play uses the 7th edition Call of Cthulhu tabletop role-playing game rules by Chaos. This actual play is performed by adults and in an adult setting. While we try very hard to stick to language for all ages, listeners should know that this podcast may include mature themes. All content, including names, places, events, companies, and etc., that may bear resemblance to entities living or dead, is strictly coincidental. My name is Michael Diamond, and for tonight's game, I will be your keeper. Thank you for joining us again on another episode of the Old Ways Podcast. I'm your keeper, Keeper Michael, and we return to Masks from Nyarlathotep in our England chapter, where we have a month episode coming. But before that, we are going to do a round of introductions. So, to my right,
Slani, I'm playing Lawrence Edward Oliver Forsyth, and it was an eventful night.
It was. You had a nice long walk with Simone on a pier, and after that, you went to bed. That brandy helped for certain. To Mr. Forsyth, right?
This is Morgan. I play Lillian Lane, and dinner was a little awkward last night.
It's an awkward dinner between friends, the best kind.
For sure.
At the end of the table.
This is Jake. I'll be playing Jack Doyle. And I'm hoping that this montage episode is accompanied by 80s synthesizer music, as all montages should be.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. I'll talk to the editors. To Jack's right.
This is James. I'll be playing Dr. Sigmund Tattenbach. And I am very intrigued by this montage action.
To the doctor's right.
Oh, this is Tiffany, and I play Maeve O'Shea, and I now have an enemy.
Good lord. Add another one to the list. But last, most certainly not least.
This is Alex. I'll be playing Simon Granger, and apparently I am making enemies.
And influencing people.
Maybe.
Well, we're going to open this episode with an understanding between ourselves and between the listeners, you the listener, that this episode will span about a week of game, right? And at the end of it, if you listen real closely, maybe, just maybe, some of our investigators will improve some skills. But more on that later. So the next day arrives at Walton-on-the-Naze, and the weather doesn't really improve, per se. In fact, it gets a little rainier. But it's just a light mist for you, Mr. Doyle, as you and Miss Lane begin doing some of your cursory examination of the city. I would ask then, where are you going to start?
I look at Jack. Jack, so you're the man with the plan.
Let's start at the antique shop.
Oh, okay. What are we looking to find at the antique shop?
Well, I bet they would know all the old manors around the area.
Yeah, like a historical society type deal?
Yeah, it's possible. I would think that they would know better than just about anybody.
Okay, lead the way.
So we'll go to the antique shop.
You guys head to the antique shop. Anything specific you're looking for at the shop?
Well, I want to... we'll just look around, but I kind of try to chat up the proprietor.
Yeah, they're more than willing to chat with a local shopper.
Basically, I'm looking for information about manor houses in the area. Older buildings with nice architecture, that kind of stuff.
Well, we don't have many manors here locally, but I do know there's some larger parcels of land that were sold off a bit north, just a few miles. I don't think the shop here would have any specific record of them, not that I can remember, but perhaps the county records office would have something.
Well, where was the county records office located?
Oh, the county building's not far from here. It's just a few blocks down.
Well, thank you very much. So we found out about the county records, Lillian. Would you like to go for a walk?
Great. Let's head to the county records. I'm guessing they will have, or hoping they have some blueprints of the area or the house.
Yes, or something.
So there is a record here as you guys travel up to the county seat. There are records here which you're able to get a hold of that day. Although they don't include any blueprints. There's a record of sale. It looks like in 1915. And that is a sale to a gentleman that you both know, at least by name, and that would be Edward Gavigan.
Who is the sale from? Who did they buy it from?
It looks like a gentleman named Lloyd Price.
Okay.
It was at one point known as the as Longview. That's the name of the manse as it was built.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like that Mr. Gavigan changed the name formally here on the deed to Mr. House.
And they have a location of where it's located, you know, so I can look it up, so I can get there.
They have the rough mile markers, yeah.
That's all I needed. And that's all they have in here, right?
Yeah.
We're not planning on going there today, are we?
No. You and I have some unfinished business.
So do we have anything else with regards to this that we want to accomplish today, or should we move on to other things?
We'll move on to other things.
Okay.
Maybe find somewhere that's like a cove or something that's tucked away. There's got to be something out here that's pretty wide open outside the town.
You could simply walk up the coastline basically into unincorporated land, and it's not even farm fields. It's just marshes. It's, you know, semi-rocky cliffs and then the sea.
Yeah, this would be perfect.
Yeah, somewhere a little out of the way. All right, so I kind of look at him expectantly. So what are we doing first?
Well, we're gonna work on.
Do I get to just right hook somebody? Start off.
Yeah, that's usually a good way of starting. But okay. What we're actually gonna do is we're gonna work on your stance.
Okay. So how do I need to stand? I mean.
Well, okay, and this is where I will teach her as I have taught numerous brothers and nephews to how to fight street fighting.
All right, so I tell you what, why don't you give me a fighting brawl roll, and then Lillian, after he gives the report on the roll, I'd like you to give me an intelligence roll to see how well you pick it up.
Okay.
That is 64 under 75.
Okay, fair enough.
Alrighty, and then intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Got a 96 out of 75.
Hey.
Really?
Yeah. So the first day or so of this does not go as planned for either one of you, really. Jack, you're showing her some fairly simplistic body positions and then trying to walk her through. And you think that there's just a level of uncomfortability that she has with the entire premise. On your end, Lillian, you're getting what Jack is trying to teach you. It's just that he's setting everything up as if you're a man his size, and it's just not the way your body works.
Do I understand that he's doing that?
No, that's the problem. That's okay. The disconnect with that role. Okay. Is like you don't understand how to convey to somebody who's trying to teach you, no, you're teaching me the wrong way.
Yeah, I probably sigh in frustration, and you know, I'm sure my hair is all out of place. I might be a little dirty. I just don't understand. I usually pick up things better than this.
It will take a little time. We'll keep working on it.
Maybe I'm not cut out to fight.
No. Everybody's cut out to fight.
So my question to the two trainees at this point is, are you planning on keeping it up throughout the week?
Yes.
Well, I would think we'd go every day for a little while.
Okay. So give me another roll for the rest of the week. We'll see what you can pick up.
Do you want me to roll or him? or just me?
I'll have Jack roll first.
Okay.
That's 53, so a success.
Okay, and then Lillian?
I got a 50 out of 75.
Yeah, you kind of come to the understanding that it's not just body position for her, but what you need to teach her really is to how to use her size and speed to her advantage. Because what you learn over that week is that Lillian is like whip fast when she wants to be. She's faster than you. Her hands, when she gets into a rhythm, move very fast. And so you begin to teach her more, not like slap fighting, but more like, instead of trying to punch and use your strength, you teach her a little bit more like dirtier fighting techniques that you would use like on the open street, like eye gouges.
Right. It's not a fair fight. I won't teach her to fair fight. I want to teach her to survive and win.
So that is what the two of you are doing, at least for the balance of say a 6 to 8 hour day for the rest of the week. And at the end of the week, Lillian, you're probably exhausted.
I want to pass on that information so that, like, if Simone wants to go look at the house or whatever, they can do so.
Okay. You pass along the information so that way folks know where it's at. If someone investigates that a little further, I can give them some more detail on it. So with Lillian and Jack for the moment in training, Lawrence, how are you spending your week?
Well, if we know the name of the house and the general idea of where the house is, it's probably not hard to go down to the records department and pull the plat. And perhaps maybe there's a chance we could go out that way and survey the grounds.
Interestingly enough, if you spend a little time in research when you go to the county seat for it, they can get you a general map of this area, but they can't get you any detailed information on it. The county records department say that the information, like any detailed drawings of the area, were pulled about 5 to 7 years ago, and that a survey has not been back out to the area.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. So I think it might be time to rent a car, if there's a possibility of doing so. Or maybe
out here in this area to get to a place that might be able to rent you an automobile, you would have to travel likely quite a ways back.
Yeah. And I exactly can't ride a horse, right. So about how far away is it?
Well, specifically from Walton and or from some of the areas that you've been in down here, it's not that it's terribly far. It's probably within, 9 or 10 miles, give or take, from some of the positions that you're in. It's that this location that the 6,000 acres that have been purchased for the estate, it's on an island. And you begin to get in over the week to these prints, these geographical plans that they've made, and you realize that this portion of the naze that it's on is completely cut off, there seems to be evidence of some road in the area, but a good 95% of this area is cut off from road access. There's one road in, one road out.
Is it on the coast?
It is. I mean, portions of it, but up against the coast, yeah.
Maybe a trip by boat.
You figure if you study it long enough, it's possible.
I think that might be the call, depending on how bad the weather is. Because if the weather holds, I still don't think they'd be expecting very many people to come by sea. Maybe I'll talk to Simone about the possibility of seeing if we can get a better look at the location.
Okay. So you're probably going to end up between the trips to the county back and forth. You'll probably burn a day or two of your time.
Yep.
just looking at the map, Mr. Forsyth, you can tell this is probably a rather large rolled up map that he brings back to you, Simone. It does look like the place that was pointed out that the estate was purchased on is a pretty massive chunk of land. It was also, it looks like it's mostly cut off from anything close to a road system. And just from the detail that you see drawn on the map, Mr. Forsyth, you're fairly certain these are all moors and wetlands.
I think we're gonna have to walk through this. How does it look like they get there? By boat?
By car. We know they get there by car. We know they come in a group. Probably multiple cars, actually. So there's only one road in and one road out.
I'm sorry, where is the estate on this map?
Bottom corner.
It actually isn't marked on the map specifically.
So this is just the area.
Yep. Yeah. The estate itself is not marked on the map at all. And so what the gentleman at the records office told you, Mr. Forsyth, was the area there that seems to be cut by these tributary waters that come in from the ocean.
That's the estate.
This mushroom-shaped...
Uh-huh.
Is there a road that leads that way out of town at all?
Nope.
Huh.
There is a road that leads out of town. You know that because it follows the rail line back to Colchester, but there isn't a road directly there that you can see. You know from what Mr. Forsyth told you that Yalisha, the serving girl at the Blue Pyramid, said that they take cars up there, so there has to be a way to drive to it, but...
It's just not marked easily. It's not indicated on this map at all. Okay.
Well, the question is do they drive to Walton and then drive to the estate, or do they just go straight to the estate and not stop in Walton?
Walton is where we are now, yes?
Yeah.
Oh, you're asking if they come through here first? Or...
Yeah. It would be a couple of cars full of people, several of whom probably don't speak English well, traveling through the English countryside. Somebody would notice that.
How far does this look? Like, is this, does it look like it's to scale?
It doesn't look like it's to scale.
Okay.
It could be quite a bit farther than you think.
You think this will require a bit of exploration? Where did this map come from?
The surveyor's office.
Are we expected to return it?
Yes. But I think we could make a copy of it.
I start taking out my supplies.
Okay. So the two of you for this portion of the week are going to do some direct investigation and recon of some sort, yes?
Yes. We're going to go hiking.
Okay. Yep. So what I'd like from the both of you are navigate rolls. Give me two per person for the week.
So bad at this.
I failed the first.
Okay.
Can I fail harder? Yeah, I can.
And I critically failed the second one.
Okay.
99 over 23.
We're about to get so lost. Yeah, 36 out of 10.
For the two of you, the naze becomes a moor, and you get bogged down in it terribly. Whether it's wet equipment, whether it's getting turned around, getting further out, and losing track of time, you end up, unfortunately, getting turned around at one point so bad that you lose track of which direction you came from. And the Thursday night that you spend on the moors is probably one of the worst nights of your life. It's cold, it's damp, you lack supplies. You think you have a map when you return to Walton days later, but it has been a very difficult week.
Can I tell you what I did for my day one?
Sure.
So since we didn't have a location yet, I was going to shadow Jack.
You watched Jack try to teach Miss Lane how to fight. The first day of it does not go very well.
Did you get dirty?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. But yeah, once they give me the locations, we're just getting to work on the suffering in the wetlands.
You are suffering. Mr. Forsyth, you think you turn your ankle.
Is there any damage involved, or just...
No, there's no damage involved per se, but it does extend your time out in the wetlands a little while because it becomes very difficult for you to move. Your ankle swells up a little bit.
Hard to walk on. Yeah.
Very.
We're kind of in the middle of nowhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a hunting lodge? Or any... Are there any, hunters out here? Sporty types? Sporting types? Is there anything to hunt out here? We're in the lowlands, the wetlands.
There's probably...
It's very damp.
Duck.
Nice.
There's probably fish, obviously. I mean, you would hunt it, but...
Sure. Okay. I mean, do I feel like the direction on this map is off? Like, if we head, generally northwesterly, we'd have to encounter the river at some point, right? Like, how far do I think... So, at this point, we just don't know how far it is?
That's the problem you're having, is dowsing how far it is, specifically.
Okay. Well, now that we have a better idea as to what we're dealing with, I guess I will try to figure out how we could make our travel a bit easier, make better time, given the terrain.
You actually begin to believe that these wetlands might be part of the problem. And that just by looking at the map, you kind of come to the same thought train that Mr. Forsythe did. And that is that fighting the Moors is going to always be a problem. And so you might want to go around them by boat.
Okay. I guess we'll keep that in mind for the weekend. Give Forsythe Ankle a night to recover.
Sure.
At some point during that week, I'm sure that Lillian will be actively avoiding trying to be seen by anyone looking beat up and or dirty on her way back to the hotel. So I will respect that. But on like night 4, I'm going to leave a note under her door to check chapter 4 of that book.
Okay. Fair enough.
There's going to be a note that says, check chapter 4.
You receive said note, Miss Lane.
I'm sitting on the bed, wrapped in a robe after showering and getting all the grossness off of me from the day of practice, and I see the note. Some random note comes sliding into the door, so I pick it up and see that it says, see chapter 4. I'm assuming I know it's Simone's handwriting because of the handwriting in the book that I had been reading.
Mm-hmm.
So I go pick up the book and turn it to chapter 4. And sit down and start reading. What am I going to see in chapter 4?
So it's actually a breakdown of components of survival, that it's much more than just kind of knowing what's around you. It's taking in those surroundings and anticipating what could happen. Like, if you know an alleyway is coming up, could someone jump out and attack you? If you see a fire escape on an apartment building to your right, could someone throw something down at you? So understanding your surroundings and like the criticality of being aware of everything around you. And then it goes on to other, I guess, principles of hypervigilance and like surroundings engagement. It doesn't talk about how to fight, but more about how to anticipate situations as they unfold. The level of like ferocity that's expected of you when it's time to fight. And that when it's time to fight, there is typically a time to kill, because if you're being attacked, you can't hold anything back. It doesn't necessarily get instructional, but it, relays the importance of utilizing every weapon at your hand. So anything kicking, punching, eye gouging to opportunistic items. But yeah, stuff like that.
So like using the environment to my advantage? Like what's available?
Well, yeah, it talks about like being tactical in your mindset. And kind of what you should expect of yourself in those situations.
I start pouring through the chapter with eagerness and I grab out my journal that I have and start taking down some notes on what I'm reading. Yeah, that's what I will spend my evening doing, and also just relaxing because my muscles really hurt.
So, Doctor, tell me how you're spending this week.
Be spending a good majority of it
reading about Egypt and the various books that he has collected from Mr. Doyle, who's so generous to donate, even though he didn't realize. He is tackling them quickly and efficiently as he possibly can, while still retaining as much as he can. So, you know, the delicate balance. If and when Jack asks the doctor's opinion about Mealy, he willingly offers a ear and a hand, if even willing to stand in, you know, stand to the side during one of their sessions and give pointers on to sure. both Jack and Lillian as to, you know, Jack, you're thinking about as if she is 6 foot. She is not. She is 5'5". You need to lower the center of gravity. You know, little things. Tapping one of them with the cane. Move your foot.
Okay.
Other than that, yeah, he's doing just a lot of research, trying to stay relatively clean of ether during the week or so, but probably before bed when he starts thinking about that painting, he, you know, it helps him sleep, so.
Sure, sure. Anything you tell yourself to sleep, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, fair enough. So would you like, I can give you an intelligence roll if you'd like, to pick up some Egyptian lore or Egyptology?
I would like to, and specifically, I'm actually going to look up the name of the house that we're going to, because it's bugging me because it's not French, it's not German, and it's clearly not English. So I'm going to look up the name of the house because you changed it. So
Just go ahead and give me an intelligence roll and we'll see how you do for the week.
I will do that thing. Oh my God. 98 out of 85.
You could push that if you'd like to.
You know what? I think I will.
But how will you push it?
Well, having done this many times in real life, once I start and I realize that my brain is not absorbing it as it needs to, I regroup, refresh, try to think of different ways that I can teach it to myself, find different angles, and pull a few all-nighters, even if they have to be chemically fueled.
Ah, wonderful. The ether comes back into play.
Oh, yes, it does. So I will go ahead and make that roll again and push it. 50 under 85, sir.
Okay. You spend 3 nights, probably up until the wee hours of the morning, until you begin to see the slight bloom of dawn tracing the eastern sky. But you do come across a few revelations. In Arabic, Misr means Egypt. It's just another word for Egypt.
So we're going to the Egypt house.
Right.
Fantastic.
Which informs you a bit, you think, on what kind of house it might be.
Yeah.
It also lines up quite directly with Mr. Gavigan's perspective, you think.
Indeed. It's a little disturbing.
If you'd like to, we'll just mark down during the end of the session here. We'll give you an opening skill roll if you'd like.
Yay!
And then, not to be outdone with pulling all-nighters, Miss O'Shea, what does your week consist of?
Trying to decipher the connection with the knife with Swift's journal. And then if I make it past that, then I want to do studying on my new pet that I want to get.
So why don't you make me a Cthulhu Mythos roll for the dagger, if you're going to try to integrate it or work with the journal?
Oh, yeah. Let me look up what the journal. 3 out of 36.
Oh, well, that's an extreme success. So you spend the first few nights going over the dagger and going over the etchings you find in it. As you go over the dagger, you realize, even though it appears brittle, this Bronze Age dagger, still very much an antique. But as you're leafing through one of the pages in the journal, you end up, when setting the dagger down, accidentally cutting yourself with it. And it burns and stings for a good long while. But as the the blood continues to sit on the blade. You realize that the tarnish that's on that piece there begins to evaporate, and you start to see the blade just in that section where the blood is seems to almost reform.
Okay.
And you see another part of this glyph exposed.
Well, if I just cut my finger or something, I guess I'll see if I can rub it and get, you know, more
sure
of the glyphs and whatever.
So I suppose the question then is, how much are you going to put on it?
Well, I mean, if I like, I mean, because was it a bad cut on my finger?
It's bad enough. I mean, it hurts like crazy. You bled quite a bit.
Well, then I'll, you know, try and stop it and then use whatever's on the handkerchief that, you know.
You continue to use the blood that's there and you work it into the weapon. First trying to clean it, and once you realize that the blood is somehow a cleansing agent, whatever this metal is, you get the feeling that if you just had more, maybe this blade would be useful again.
Do I still have the cut on my hand?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you'd have to bandage it, yeah.
So I'm still wearing a bandage on that hand, right?
For sure.
Well, then I will just cut my hand again. Or peel the scab, which also hurts like hell.
So why don't you roll me a d4?
Of course, I roll a 4.
You do? Okay, so it's really the third night that you're working with that you kind of get caught up in the moment. And you figure, well, I need my hand, but maybe just the side of my thigh. That'll be enough. And so you cut into the outer portion of your thigh, and you spill blood all down the length of this blade, and it seeps deeply into the metal, and it continues to work as a solvent, and the blade before your eyes begins to regenerate itself. Almost acrid, metallic scent takes over your room. And when you bandage yourself back up, you've got a bit of a limp now. You're in some serious pain. But the blade is another half again as what it was. It's almost completely back to life. And it's a glorious looking weapon now.
And can I read the glyphs on it?
You can. You can read some more of them. More of them match up with some of the glyphs that you're seeing in Swift's tome. And you suddenly realize that it really doesn't matter whose blood it is. It's just this blade needs it. You can feel it as you grab the handle of it. You can feel the blade's desires. It wants to be whole again. And that's going to force you to roll sanity for me.
Awesome.
Welcome to the club.
She's already in that club.
37 out of 41.
All right, you pass, but you still lose a point of sanity. It is a little difficult for your brain to continue to register this, but there has to be an end to this. I mean, there's only so much of this once misshapen, rotted blade that could possibly come back.
But I can save that for the cultists.
That's how you spend your week, cutting yourself, reading tomes and bleeding all over your room. But it's progress.
Yes, and I clean up because nobody's going to know about this.
Okay. So at the end of the week, the investigators have had some success and maybe some failures. So what I'd like to do now is wrap up the week with each one of them. Jack and Lillian, you come together finally and get somewhat of a regiment down. And after 4 or 5 days, Jack, you feel like she has a rhythm finally.
Good, good. I'd like to see her making some progress.
Am I able to take him down in sparring yet?
No. No, but you are admittedly, Jack, that there's no way around the fact that she's faster than you, and if she had time and effort to put into honing the skill, she could be potentially pretty dangerous. So with the intensive training, Lillian, I'd like you to make me an intelligence roll at the end of the week.
Okay. I got a 40 out of 75.
All right. Now roll 1d10.
I get a 4.
All right. And add 5 to it.
9.
Okay. So if you'd like to raise your brawl by 9, you can.
Great.
Simone and Mr. Forsyth, I think that navigate is probably likely in your future when we get to the improvement section. But how would the two of you round your week out?
I think we need to get a boat. I would like to see if we can not abscond with one, but like acquire one for a time.
Yeah, getting a boat in Walton on the Naze is not hard at all. You could rent one probably from the hotel. Now, they're not large boats. They're not even, in many cases, motorized.
Well, I was assuming that we were only going to need like a canoe for the two of us.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it wouldn't be a canoe. It would be a flat boat here, but, sure. But yeah.
Yeah.
Who's got pilot boat?
Remember?
I totally do. No, I really don't.
She's a ship captain. You just never knew it.
Yep. One of the many secrets.
Really, what we need is somebody to pilot the boat for us, basically.
I mean, I can't row a boat?
You can. No, absolutely. I'm not going to stop you from rowing a boat.
It might be a far distance to row.
Well, that's why there's two of us.
Right.
You can also row this boat.
So I'll hand wave the rolls. I'm not so much interested in that. I guess for your boating expedition, where are you attempting to get to specifically?
I want to try to get a visual on this. The water starts pretty close to Walton. And then mm-hmm. there's this, is it a tributary, whatever that river, the river is? Mm-hmm. We'd be paddling upriver. So I'm just going to, I think we can just follow it. Like, we can probably just drag. Well, how big is a flatboat?
The two of you could probably drag it a bit. You could portage with it, kind of. The two of you are probably strong enough to, it's going to be a day, probably just a few hours to get it on foot. To get to, at least maybe not a few hours, probably an hour or so to get to that tributary area, and then another, you know, couple of hours to get up the tributary, depending on how far you're going to go.
Sure. But I think the goal is to try to figure out where the, like, property lines are, like signs of civilization.
Figure out where the house is in relation to the water.
Or a dock, figure out, maybe.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
If there's anyone there right now, other than the skeleton staff.
The literal skeletons, the walking undead.
So you guys spend the better part of the weekend boating. You get into the tributary and you boat up. It's hard work, but it's not like the two of you are unfamiliar with hard work. You at the very least get to, at some point, Mr. Forsyth, get to keep your ankle a little bit higher, having dashed it on the moors a bit earlier. So you get up into this first lower section where the river bends, where it creates that U, and you see how much bigger body of water that you're going to run into is. And as you're at that little section, I'd like the two of you to give me a spot hidden roll.
Oh, that's an extreme success. 8 under 57.
Very good.
I got a hard success. It's 14 out of 55.
You guys went up this little thin piece of river here, and you get to where it just gets a little thicker, and you're the first person to spot it, Mr. Forsyth. And what you spot is a stone wall. Your field glasses pick up a stone wall. Now, it's got to be a half a mile or so from your position, give or take. But because there's no trees blocking it, you spot the lower section of a stone wall. It's hard to see with the tree cover that is there in that section, but that's definitely a stone wall.
But there's no dock around it, or?
So, no, you wouldn't see a dock.
But it's right there where that little bitty branch goes off of the big tributary.
Do I see it after a time?
Yeah, you do. It doesn't take you long to follow where Forsyth's vision continues at.
Sure.
Just to say, hey, there's something there. Yep, look at that.
Is there a place for us to pull off safely?
You could go across the bank.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, does that bank look safe? How deep is the water here? Out of curiosity.
It's probably 10 feet.
Okay. And if we have to, like, hop out, you know, knee deep, ankle deep or whatever to pull the boat up, like, I don't mind trying to get out the rest of the way just to make sure that we can get out of the water. So the wall is covering that branch there?
The wall itself, it's hard to see in its totality. So if you guys get on the other side of the river, the river, and you basically beach the boat and then get into the moors here that are on this side, you can travel a little bit ways down and see that there is what looks like a dock here. It's to the left and a little bit up the river. And you see a section of that wall, but you don't see much more than that. Even with field glasses and getting closer, there must be a structure there behind the tree cover, but it's hard to tell.
So are we would have, considering how ill-prepared we were earlier, is it safe to assume we would have required like hip waders and stuff and tall boots at this point to be walking through all this? Or are we still walking around?
I don't think the two of you would have gone back out. Both of you are men of preparation, so...
Monsieur, I think perhaps we get to the wall and see what we can see.
Yeah. I mean, what kind of shape does the wall look in? Does it look like it's maintained, or does it look like
it's covered in ivy?
What time of day is it when we arrive?
It's probably midday. Just knowing kind of your mental framework, Simone, getting close to this place to get a better look, given the tree cover they have. If there's anybody on the top of that stone wall, you'll be very easy to pick out.
Do we see any boats on the dock, or is it just an empty dock?
No, you see a boat on the dock. It's it's not a flat boat like you guys said. It's a little bit bigger, but it doesn't seem to be massive. It's like a sailboat, a very small sailboat.
I'm willing to risk it and survey us, perhaps bird watching, nature scouting.
Sounds good to me.
We want casual.
Okay. How far are you going?
I mean, I want to get a better look at the wall, see if I can see where it ends, like how long does it look, how tall is it.
Okay, stealth rolls then.
I will spend 12 luck to make that roll.
Okay.
I will... 17 out of 75.
Okay. So you guys get quite a bit closer through the brush. You have to at some point do a little belly crawling here in the mud. You get close enough to get a view of the location. The wall is about 6, maybe 7 feet tall. It's stone, and it seems to go quite a ways, both left and right. You are near somewhat of a corner. You can tell that this wall is fairly well concealed by tree cover, and it's covered mostly in ivy from the bottom to the top. But what you do get a view of is a 3-story building that sits beyond the wall, which looks quite a bit like the picture that Jack showed you. The one that Miss Lane rescued from the office.
So we're not at the wall yet?
No.
We're close. We're closer to it?
You're closer to it, yeah.
How far out are we from the wall itself?
Probably 100 yards.
And you said there's cover at the wall? There's just not cover before the wall?
There's not. Well, keep in mind that this location here specifically, the wall area is basically built up near the banks of the other side of the river. So you're going to have to cross the river to get there.
I'll look back at Forsyth kind of splashing around a bit. If this is the house, what I can probably do is wait here until Cavell of Night and get a closer look at the wall and the surrounding area. Write down what I can. I'll recommend that you return to the hotel, let the others know what we have found. Note your approach. I will return as soon as I have enough information for us to make a more informed approach.
It looks like it's about 100 yards across the water.
What do you think, monsieur? We knew we were going to need to find out everything we can about the grounds and surrounding area. I don't intend to approach the house personally at this time. Maybe get a feel for potential guard positions or find out how the caravan is getting here. I wouldn't want to force you to wait out here with me, considering the conditions. I'll kind of splat around on the ground a bit.
I think it's best we... I'll go back and tell them, but I think I'd better come back out tonight.
Really? Very well.
You're going to need some backup.
I'll take out my pocket watch.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a watch, monsieur?
I do. I pull out my pocket watch.
All right, I see how off we are.
Yeah, it takes a little synchronization to get them both together.
I suppose you can find out from the group whether any of them want to join you. Looking around, which direction do I think is more sensible for me to go? Like further southwest of my position, if I'm going to skirt the wall and try to find a way to get closer to it? Because my goal is I want to get to the wall, hopefully get eyes over it, and I wanted to try to follow it to see what the perimeter looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And try to get a feel for like other points of entry. This wall, if it's a wall, there's probably a gate somewhere, which means there's a road somewhere that we haven't seen yet. And if that road is the approach that also leads to the house, then that would be some pretty helpful. In my mind's eye, like, what do you, do I want to go left or right when I get to the wall?
You are probably going to want to continue left.
Right, because right would put me close to the river.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The only thing you're a little concerned about is the wall seems to go on for quite a ways.
That I have no doubt, but I think I can follow. If I can spot it, then I can follow it for a while.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is say, monsieur, what time is it now?
Probably just into the afternoon now.
Even if you did come back, you would not be here until the wee hours of the morning, say 2 o'clock. Considering how long it took us to get up here, right?
It probably took you a good 3 or 4 hours to get here.
It might take me a little bit less because I know what I'm doing now. It's not quite as foreign.
Maybe taking others with you as well.
Mike, could I take a quick engineering roll?
For what?
I want to get an idea of this is a wall, and it's a wall. It looks almost to me like a castle. Because they don't usually wall off the water. It's not... Even rich people don't do that normally.
Sure.
What about zany people?
You can make an engineering
roll. Who knows why madmen do what they do. I think I want to try and get the idea of... If he's looking for the road, maybe I can look at the lay of the land, basically, that we can see. And then knowing how they build things like this... And give him some pointers on which way would be better to go, or more likely.
Okay.
It's 45 under 60.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if he continues going on this path here, you know, the idea would be to find where that portion of the wall stopped.
Right.
You said we were climbing at a corner, right?
Yep.
Okay. And I will head in that direction if you are not here by... 2 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. If I'm not here by 2, then just do what you can and head out, I guess.
If you are not here by 2, assume that I have headed in that direction. And if you choose to follow, just know that I will be making my way back to Walter. Walter on Denise.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, and I set up shop on this side of the river.
Mm-hmm.
I try to find a comfortable place to hunker down.
So for the week that we are going to spend, The investigators have done a bunch of different things. And so I want to get to the investigator improvement portion of this. We'll still have a chance next session to get to the investigation of the wall that you're finding. But we want to get this improvement session in. So I want to start with Jack. And we'll just go around and we'll see where skill's at. And then we'll give some rolls and see what happens.
Okay. Okay, I'll start out with dodge.
Always a good skill roll.
That's what I thought. Failed. Yeah. 88 over 83.
So you can add 5 to that.
Sweet.
Looks like fast talk's next.
That's also a failure. 70 over 52.
All right. Add 6 to your fast talk.
Raw. No. Success.
Not this time around.
Ugh. Library use. Success. Listen. Failure. 78 over 30.
You can add 7 to your listen.
Locksmith. Ooh, wow. 100.
Congrats.
Max out the meter.
So that's double, right?
No, it's not. But did you do get 8 points in locksmith.
Nice. Spot hidden. Success. Stealth. Failure on stealth.
Your stealth's high, too. So that is 6 points in stealth.
And then track. Failure. Boy, not a surprise. 55 over 10.
6 points in track.
Handgun. Success. And psychology. And persuade. Jesus, I'm not.
Wait.
I did fail persuade. 72 over 25.
I see that. All right. 8 in persuade.
Okay. And then the luck roll. 62 under 86.
You get 6 points of luck, sir.
Excellent.
All right. Miss Lane. Let us see what you have done.
All right. All right. So I had a charm.
Mm-hmm.
Which I passed. Okay.
Yep.
I had brawl with... I got an extreme success. Good gravy.
You did get points in brawl over this week, so
I
don't feel
did.
Too bad.
And listen, which I had a hard success, so nothing. Spot hidden, another success.
Oh boy.
And then psychometry, another success. So I am batting 1,000.
You are. All right. Luck roll, please.
I had a failure in luck, 66 out of 44.
So that is 11 points of luck for you.
Awesome. At least I got something.
You did. You got luck, and that is sometimes even better.
Yes.
All right. So, Lonnie, let's boot up Mr. Forsythe here and
sure.
Get him taken.
Loaded right. Larry.
Well, let's start with archaeology, and I fail 45 over 24.
Hey, you learned something. All right. You get 10 points of archaeology. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, and then I have handgun. I failed it. 61 over 60. Oh my goodness.
Wow. That is 6 points in handgun.
Woo-hoo.
Getting dangerous right. By the second.
Yep. Listen. 76 over 35.
All right. That's 8 points of listen.
Engineering. I failed that. 78 over 60.
Wow. All right, so that's 3 points in engineering.
Okay, that's fine. Spot hidden.
Mm-hmm.
Critical failure. 100 over 57.
The
Jeez.
Only time you'd want that. Yep. So that's 4 points of spot hidden.
Then, last and probably least, stealth. 22 over 20. Jeez.
And that is 7 points of stealth.
I improved a great deal this time around. And a luck roll.
Yep.
Extreme success, 3 under 38.
All right, so that is 11 points of luck.
Wow.
Very good. You are set. Doctor, what have we learned, Doctor?
Okay, so starting at the top, archaeology. I can roll for that one, I assume?
You can.
Surprise, surprise, I failed because I have 1 in it. So 12 over 1.
Yeah, you get 7 points of archaeology.
7 points. All right, so next one is Brawl. I succeed with that one, 40 under 70. Handgun, I succeed with 15 under 20. Boy, medicine, 59 under 82, no surprise there. Occult, 39 over 35.
Maeve has rubbed off on you. She has 10 points of occult.
Wow.
She's bad business, you know.
She really is. Okay, so next would be psychology, which is an extreme success, 10 under 79. So I actually forget a few things. biology. I actually failed that one, 85 over 75.
Nice. That is 7 points of biology, sir.
A sleight of hand? Should fail this one. Oh my god. I succeeded. 6 under 10. Fantastic.
Fantastic.
I learned nothing. Spot hidden. I fail. 74 over 70.
Yeah, and that's 10 points of spot hidden.
Yay. I do not disapprove.
And now you roll luck.
And now I roll luck. 39 under 40.
All right. That is 12 more points of luck.
Awesome. I will take it.
All right. Miss O'Shea.
Okay. History, 33 out of 65.
Nothing there.
Spot hidden, 3 out of 72. And library use, yes, 99 out of
89. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Okay. So that's 8 points of library use. That is going to be our first one. So we have our first skill over 95. Okay. That means something special.
Game goes up a difficulty.
Not exactly. So what Miss O'Shea has done is she has improved her skill to the point where she is considered a master. And it actually has a functional benefit for her. And it's because she has this mastery of skills that she gets a little something back. So when an investigator attains, in this game, 95% or more in ability, in a skill during an investigator development phase, add 2d6 points to their current sanity.
Yes! I was hoping. I was like, please be sand, please be sand.
So that mastery will return to you 4 points of sanity.
Okay, I won't. Better than kicking the teeth.
I mean, I can make that happen if you'd like.
No, that's all right.
Okay. Okay. Luck roll then. Oh, wait, are we through all your skills yet? Nope. Continue, please.
Brawl, 36 out of 42. And occult. Let's see if I can master this one. Everybody cross your fingers. Nope. 51 out of 83. So now luck, 57 out of 64.
So that is 8 more points of luck for you.
All right.
And Simone, the skill master himself.
What up?
What you got?
Acting. Fuck. It's broken.
It is. It is a broken skill.
98 under 55.
I would say that you improved. Yep. Take 6 more points of acting.
Acting.
Men putting screwdrivers into things and turning them.
And adjusting them.
Climb. 60 under 49.
All right. 6 more points of climb.
Disguise. With a failure, 64 out of 45.
7 more points of disguise.
Duck, dive, dodge. With a failure, 79 out of 75.
4 more points of dodge.
Get out of the way. Roll. Success, 69 out of 60. Giggity. rifle, shotgun. Hard success. Listen, success, locksmith, hard success, chemistry, 92 out of 50.
All right. 4 more points of that cooking skill.
Let's cook.
Your landlady must have taught you some stuff.
Oh, she did. Herbs and spices. She got the colonel's blend. sleight of hand, a success. Spot hidden with a failure, 98 over 55.
Yay. All right. 3 more points of spot hidden.
Sneak, 94 out of 75.
Sneak. Delve. as it's called in this game, stealth. 8 more points of stealth.
Track. Extreme success. And I think we're all...
All right. Luck.
16 out of 17.
You only have 17 luck?
Had. Yeah, I have more now.
You have 13 points of luck.
Wait, 13 more? Or you took 4 from me?
No, I didn't say.
No!
13 more points of luck for you.
All right. I am spent.
You are. And that is our improvement. So I hope you all have enjoyed tonight's episode. We are reaching an ever oncoming climax with this game. And so we'll look forward to see what the investigators plan for their next foray towards just a simple home in the middle of nowhere. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.